Hello and welcome to the Cloud Resource Podcast. Listen and be blessed. Hello and welcome. Let's pray. Father, we join our spirit with your spirit this moment. We receive illumination from your spirit. We receive clarity from your spirit. We receive revelation as we look into the word, that our lives and our hearts are transformed by the renewal of our mind. In Jesus' name. So very quickly, like I said earlier, we'll be considering it is God's purpose for you. It is God's purpose for you. And first, I would like to explain and expatiate on the concept of purpose. Basically, when we talk about the purpose of a thing, we're saying this is the reason why that thing exists. So when we say God's purpose, we're saying God's reason for the existence of something. And so when we say God's purpose for you, we're saying God's reason for your existence, the very reason why God created you. Because when God does anything, he does it with an intention in mind. Alright, God doesn't just do things carelessly. God doesn't do or create anything without a purpose. In Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. He did not just create them, he created that for a purpose. And so there is absolutely nothing that exists without God's purpose. And so what this means is that everything that God creates has a purpose. Even the tiny grain of sand, you know, at the seashore exists for a purpose. How much more you? So if the fish in the sea and everything and the birds of the air existed for a purpose, how much more you? So there is something called God's purpose for you. And if this is your first time of coming across this or paying attention to this, I would encourage you to really take it seriously, because it's really not about how many years you spend living on earth. It's really about how much of God's purpose for your life you have fulfilled while you were here on earth. Okay, and it's not too early, it's not too late for you to discover God's purpose for you. Okay, and you have to understand that your purpose is the true meaning of your life. Your purpose is the very, very essence of your life. Away from all the activities and all the memories and everything that you keep involving yourself in, the real deal of life is your purpose. And so in Genesis 1, verse 26, 28, when God created man, he said, let us create man in our own image and after our own likeness, you know. And he began to talk about man's purpose. And you would see that he created man as a last creature after he had created every other thing. He had created the birds, he had created the sky, he had created the oceans, the lands, in the stars and the galaxies, and it was time to create man. And he took his time to begin to bless man. And beginning in that blessing, we see God talking about his purpose, his general purpose for the entire mankind. Okay, and what is that? He says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. That is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You see, and going further down, you'd realize that God began to show man the purpose for other things that he had created. The purpose for the vegetation, the purpose for the plants, the purpose for the earth was so that man would subdue it. Right? Was so that man would eat of it. Was so that man would continue to exist on this earth. You know, and this is because God, in creating us, knew that we needed to survive on this earth. Okay? And so, beyond just living to eat and wear good clothes and subdue and, you know, and replenish the earth, there is something that is God's purpose for man. All these things were not God's purpose for man. All these things were rather God's purpose for the earth. Alright? God's purpose for the earth was so that man would subdue it and replenish it, you know, and survive in it and eat from it and enjoy the benefits of it. Okay, but man's purpose was first and foremost fellowship, so that man would be in fellowship, in constant communion, in constant communication, in constant sharing of ideas and thoughts with God. In constant communication with God. That is the very purpose of man. And when we look at this, it is profound. It is very profound because you have to understand that your purpose is not first to subdue the earth. Your purpose is not to replenish the earth, is not to have children, is not to be fruitful and multiply. No, it's first and foremost to have a relationship, an intimate relationship, to live in worship unto God. What we see here is the purpose why God created the earth. God created the earth for man, for man's pleasure, for man's enjoyment, for man's habitation. All right, and this will really change your life when you realize that your purpose does not consist in the things that you have on this earth. Why? Because it is normal, it is the purpose of the earth that man should contain it, that man should dwell in it. That's the purpose of the earth. So it is, you are not doing anything different by being the richest person in the world. It is the purpose of the earth that you subdue it. You know, an animal couldn't have been the richest thing on the earth. Man had to be, because man is the number one creature when it comes to hierarchy on the earth. All right, so back to what we're talking about, which is God's purpose. We'll be looking at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, where God was speaking to prophet Jeremiah, and he says to him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Alright, so it is true of every person on the earth that God knew us before we were born. It is true that beyond the general purpose as seen in Genesis 1 verse 27 to 28, as we were talking about earlier, where God was talking about us being fruitful and us multiplying and replenishing the earth and having dominion. It is true that for every man, beyond the general thing, beyond the general purpose of, you know, having a fellowship with God and having communion with God and all those other things I mentioned earlier, there's something specific about you. There's a specific purpose to you, all right? Why He created you. And there's an intention and a purpose in his heart as to why he created you. And that is what is described as God's purpose for you. Now, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That was direct, that was specific. And this is God coming to you with so much specificity, telling you this moment that before you were born, he knew you. And so, right before the foundations of the earth, God knew that you were going to exist. And it is not a mistake that you are alive today. It's not a mistake that you were born into that family. It's not a mistake that you were born at such a time as this. It is not a mistake that you are alive right now. Alright? God has a plan. God has a purpose for you. And so he says, before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, this is not peculiar to everybody. Not everybody has been ordained a prophet to the nations. These words are specific to Jeremiah. Alright, and by extension, it can apply to you. God may have ordained you as a prophet to the nations, but then you have to understand that God has an intention. God has a problem that he has created you to be a solution to on the earth. And so in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, God's speaking to Jeremiah about his specific purpose for him. Said he was going to be a prophet to the nations. And you see, this is not just about Jeremiah. When you look through the scriptures, this sequence is loud. You know, it's repetitive in scriptures. You see, God sent angels to talk to parents about the purpose of their child. For example, Samson in Judges. You know, God sent an angel to go talk to his parents, and the angel was talking to them about what and what not to give the child. Do not give him wine. Do not cut his hair. You know, and things like that. And these were instructions that the Lord began to give to his parents about him becoming the one that would liberate them from the Philistines and things like that. And this is also peculiar when you go through the New Testament text. You see how he began to send angels to prepare the coming of someone like John the Baptist, and then even of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's is very, very intentional when it comes to his purpose for us. There is an assignment, an accomplishment that it is destined for us to do. And in this purpose, you discover the geographical location on the earth that you're supposed to direct your impact to, that you're supposed to be living in. All right, you'd in this purpose realize where you're supposed to raise your family. If you're supposed to raise a family, it is in this purpose that you realize that there are certain people who you must meet their needs, who God wants to meet their needs through you. So if your purpose is first God's purpose, it means that you must discover your purpose in him. Why? Because from our theme, it says God's purpose for you. So it means it is primarily God's purpose. It is God's purpose before it is your purpose. And if it is God's purpose, you have to understand that it is in God that you will find your purpose. It is in God that you will find your purpose. And so in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 2, Jeremiah began to describe himself as the one to whom God's word came. Okay, he says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And what does this mean? He says further in verse 4, he says of himself, then the word of the Lord came to me. So there seems to be a sequence in scripture when God is the one who does first reach out to us, who does first reach out to a people, who does first reach out to a person, you know, and begins to communicate to them about their purpose. You see, this is from our last series about Moses. God first reached out to Moses and began to tell him about his purpose. You see this even in the New Testament text in Acts chapter 9. God first reached out to Saul, who ended up becoming Paul the apostle. You see, God, it is God's purpose, and it is God who can perfectly communicate it to us. And so it is important that we realize that God is not a careless creator. He first reaches out to establish a relationship with his creation so that it can navigate us towards the real essence of our lives. Much more than we are, God is so willing to reveal his purpose for our lives to us. So much more than you are curious about it much more than you really want it, much more than you really, really are curious to know God's purpose for your life. God wants to tell you. God wants to communicate it to you, because the only way you can know accurately God's purpose for your life is God communicating it to you. Why? Because it is in God. It originated from God. And it is God that can communicate it to you. And it is God that can empower you to do it. So it is not just God. It doesn't just originate from God. God doesn't just communicate your purpose to you. God empowers you to fulfill it. Alright? And you have to realize that you must have a relationship with God. And because that is where it starts from. That is where the communication starts from. God will first come to you. God will first establish the relationship with you. Why? Because right from the fall of Adam, there was spiritual death. Spiritual death means separation from man. And, you know, separation between man and God. Man was alienated from God. It was a spiritual separation. It was a spiritual alienation, such that man would be unable to conceive the things of God. Man would be unable to understand and comprehend the things of God. And God, in his pursuit of restoring man unto himself, came in form of a man to die for our sins so that we can be saved. So that we can be saved. So that we can be reconciled unto sonship. So that we can be reconciled unto in a relationship with him. And so that relationship will start from you being saved first. If you will know God, you have to start first from salvation. You have to start first from being saved. He says in John 3 and verse 16, he says, God, Jesus speaking, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life." This is the starting point. What is it? What is everlasting life? What is eternal life? Eternal life is to know God. Eternal life is to know God. Yeah. Eternal life is to know God. And that, how do you have eternal life? By believing. By believing. By believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. According to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 to 9, it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, do you see that now? And believe in your heart that Jesus was raised back to life by God from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so that is how salvation happens. And so I put it to you today, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you believed in your heart the Lord Jesus? Have you confessed him as your Lord Jesus? Have you believed that he died for your sins, that he was buried for your sins, and that he rose again the third day for your justification? Why? Because this is the only way to have eternal life. Believing that he died for your sins and he rose again. A lot of people would say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus." But do you believe that he's the Son of God? To believe that Jesus is the Son of God is to believe that God took up human flesh. God identified as a man, taking up the physical body of humans, and identifying with us and going to bear upon himself our sin, our guilt, our shame, our sickness, our poverty, and going straight over to the cross to be nailed and to be crucified for our sins. That is what it means to believe that Jesus is the Son of, that Jesus is the Son of God. Alright, and you see how he says that you have to confess it with your mouth. That is your Lord. That is your Lord. He's your Lord. So I would encourage you today, if you're not saved, to first of all receive Jesus into your heart. Why? Because you have to put the cart. You have to put the horse before the cart. You have to put the horse before the cart. You must be born again. And how you'll be born again is by believing in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and was raised to life the third day for your salvation. And you have to confess this truth with your mouth. Because at salvation, you experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is God indwelling you. This means that you have 24/7 direct access to God. This is the closest we can get to God, being indwelt by Him. He comes unto us to work out His will and His pleasures through us. And you see, when we begin to look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasures. So God, by His Spirit in us, establishes an intimate relationship with us. And it is by this that we now begin to experience the communion of the Holy Spirit. We begin to hear Him talk to us in our heart. We can begin to perceive His voice. We can begin to receive His voice. Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And so we can begin to be led by God. And through the revelation of scriptures, we can also understand the will of God, the heart of God. And by His Spirit in us, there's a quickening that happens. There's a quickening that happens to us on the inside of us. And by that quickening, we are able to comprehend the realities of God. Why? Remember I said earlier that the things of God are first and foremost. The plans and the purpose of God, the purpose of God for you will be communicated to you through words. God will communicate it. If you want to know God's purpose for you, it is by Him communicating it to you. It is by Him communicating it to you. And so the reason why you have to be saved first is so that you can be reconciled unto sonship. You can be able to receive. Alright. So when you begin to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Okay, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of the man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Yes, since we also speak not in words which are man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things. And then he says in verse 14 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritual. And he says, boy, he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged of no one. Now pay attention to verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And so the first step, this is why it is very important that you be born again, that you be indwelled by the Spirit of God. Why? Because it takes a man who is spiritual to be able to comprehend the things of God. Okay, so any man who is not born again, any man who is not a child of God in this present age will find it difficult to walk in God's purpose for their life. Why? Because they cannot comprehend. They cannot be in fellowship with God. This is the first thing to being in fellowship with God, because it is in fellowship with God, in communicating with God, in hearing from God, that you will understand your purpose, that you will understand God's purpose for you. Alright, and not just understand it, that is when you begin to also fulfill it. Why? Because He works in us by His Spirit to do His will. Okay, now He says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for those who love Him. He says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yet is the things of God. So I encourage you to receive the Spirit of God by believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that he rose again for your justification. And if you have received him, if you have received Jesus, then you have to understand that God now dwells in you, and you can communicate with God, you can hear from God, you can establish an intimate relationship with God. Why? Because this is eternal life, to know God intimately. According to John chapter 17 and verse 3, it says, for this is eternal life, to know you as the only true God. To know you as the only true God. And so, it is in this that we begin to experience the communion of the Holy Spirit, that we then begin to hear him talk to us in our heart and through the revelation of scriptures. You know, that you begin to read the scriptures and the scriptures begin to make more sense. Why? Because he's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Bible goes from just being a storybook or just any other book, and then it begins to make sense. You begin to receive revelation. It begins to minister to your heart and correction. It begins to minister correction. It begins to minister reproof and all sort of, you know, transformative and defining things to you. Okay, and then he says that is at this point that, you know, this spirit begins to draw your heart, and then your heart will begin to hunger and yearn for the things of God. It will be to yearn to know God, to be with him, to spend time with him. You know, you begin to have your quiet time. You wake up in the morning and the first thing you want to do is talk to God in prayers, and then you want to go into the scriptures and just read your scriptures. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes an obligation. It becomes a part of you. This is what the Spirit of God does in us. He draws us to come to God. He draws us to come to God because we have to first come to God before we can draw from God. I'll say that again. We have to first come to God before we can draw from God. You can't draw from a well unless you come to the well. Alright, you can't get wet unless you come in contact with water. So that's how it is. That's how it is. You have to go. You have to drench yourself. You have to go into the well and go and go and go and go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Why? Because that is where your life is. Your life is in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, Apostle Paul was saying in Colossians, he says, for my life is hid with Christ in God. He says to set your heart on things above and not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. It says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so, you know, you have to know that your reality, the true essence of your life is in God. And so you have to communicate. You cannot just do without hearing from God. You cannot just do without knowing the will of God. Knowing his heart posture. You see, the greatest thing that a Christian, the greatest asset that any human on earth can have, is to be current on the state of God's heart towards him. Is to be current on the trending thing that is in the heart of God. Not just things that are trending in the news, but what is trending, what God is currently thinking about, what God is currently concerned about, what God is currently passionate about. And so as we round up this session, I want you to just go ahead and just pray. And just pray that the Spirit of God will take over you, will take over your soul, will take over your mind, will take over your heart, and you will be so engrossed in an intimate relationship with God that God will come and he will speak to you, and that you will hear him, that you will receive in accuracy the words of God in your spirit and in your mind, that your mind will no longer be dull of hearing. Can you just pray right now that your heart will no longer be dull of hearing, that you will know God, that you will seek God, that you will run and desire to know God and to be in his presence all the days of your life, and to fellowship and to stay conscious of the reality of his presence. Can you just say a word of prayer right now? Just go ahead and pray. Just go ahead and pray. Just go ahead and pray. Just go ahead and pray and fellowship with the Spirit. He says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He said, May it be with us. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God and the communion of the Spirit be with you all. Can you just pray that you understand and comprehend things of God right now?